The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
They're in the government school system, and so we've got a lot of to talk about today, and for a number of reasons, but this is just kind of an egregious example. This is down for youngsters, okay, but this is actually out there. I found out about this book. I purchased it, of course, on Amazon. Thank you, Mr. Bezos, and here it is. It's called The Gay BCs. A is for Allie, a friend who is there to stand up for you with strength, love, and care. All right, that's good. I don't have a problem with that. B is for bye. You can shout it out loud. I like boys and girls, and that makes me proud. C is for coming out. You're ready to share what you feel deep inside. It's okay to be scared. D is for drag. You can strut and dance in clothes that you love, dresses, heels, or pants. E is for equality. F is for family. G is for gay. H is for hope. I is for intersex, then joy, kiki, lesbian, mountain, non-binary, orientation, pan, queer, respect, sachet, trans, unique, vogue, wonder, and X is for X, of course, and that is the Gay BCs. Okay, that's an extreme example of one resource that's out there, obviously for younger people, children's book, but it is out there. Now, maybe for you, if you're in the public school system, perhaps it's critical race theory. We've done a lot of shows on that in the last 3 or 4 months. It's permeating the public school system out there. I was already in the college system. Now it's in the public school system right here in Wake County and across North Carolina. It's been a big issue. It's showing up all across the country. Maybe it's just the whole masking thing and teaching from home and being online. Or speaking of COVID, now maybe it's COVID vaccines because they cannot mandate it yet because they're still experimental. But the word on the street is sometime this summer, the FDA is going to give full approval, Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson, whatever else comes along. And once they do, your school system can require you to have your children fully vaccinated for COVID. And maybe you don't want to deal with any of that or part of that. So the question becomes, what do you do? Well, one of our great partners that's been on the show many, many times, and just a great story of God's grace and what he likes to do through his people, Iron Academy, and Alan Hahn has been here many, many times over the years. Alan, great to see you again. The CEO, Chief Education Officer, how are you?
Very well. Good to see you.
You as well. And then you brought somebody that I just met with you today. Why don't you introduce Mr. Newman, and then we'll dive in.
Yes, this is Bob Newman. He joined Iron Academy this year. Terrific man of God, wonderful educator, supremely experienced.
And been teaching not just around here, but really around the globe, right,
yes,
Bob?
Yes, around the world.
He's got a lot. So what was it about Iron Academy that attracted you? And then we're going to basically be talking about if you're at the point where you're ready to pull your kids out of school, generally, what should you look for? Instead of just running away from something, what are you going to run to? So we're going to talk about that. And of course, we'll talk about Iron Academy in the context of that. If you have young men in your household or grandsons here in the Wake County area, we want to talk to you specifically. But for you, Bob, what was it that attracted you to Iron Academy?
Well, as you said, it's something to run to. What I thought about Iron Academy is that it takes not only the...
You're fine.
Yeah, it takes not only the mind, but it also challenges a man's heart.
Yeah.
And that's what attracted me to, because an education without putting a man's heart into it is just words. And it, in fact, it creates more of a problem than if you have a man that's educated not only in his mind, but in his heart.
Yeah. And that's such a huge point. Of course, that's really kind of the essence behind Iron Academy. It's not just an excellent academic experience in education, but what are you doing with these young men's heart? I mean, so just for people that might be new to Iron Academy, Alan, just kind of give them a 101 on Iron Academy, and then we're going to talk the rest of the show about what's going on in the public school system, and if you're ready to leave, where should you go? But okay. Iron Academy.
Sure. So Iron Academy is a middle and high school for young men. We're really focused on three things, but the primary thing is revealing God's perfect design for young men within each young man that comes to us. So biblical manhood is first. We have an education that is male-centered. It's very engaging. It keeps them active throughout the day. But it's very good at getting the results we want. And the third thing is leadership development. We give them active daily opportunities to practice real-world leadership. So those are, that's really what Iron Academy is in a nutshell. Those three things are what we're focused on.
Yeah, and obviously quite a different way of going at education, not just the educational process itself, but reaching the man's heart, as Bob was talking about. I will always conduct myself as a gentleman, live pure, speak true, right wrong, and follow the king. That's the honor code at Iron Academy. So are you finding over these last couple of years, and maybe especially in the last 12 months, Alan, that you have families coming to you with young men, 6th through 12th grade, or rising seniors, that are ready to get out of the public school system or perhaps transfer out of the homeschooling world? But has it changed in the last 12 months because of COVID and what's been going on?
Yes, it has changed. So we've actually had to turn away more families than ever before. We do have openings, but the families that we have brought in are very much in tune with what we believe from a biblical perspective. They want more for their young men. So I wouldn't say we've had an inundation of public school families. We certainly have had them, and they've done really well, and we've been pleased to have them. But we've also seen a lot of movement from homeschooling, too, and from other Christian schools. So we've had it's been a good fountain from several places.
Yeah, and what we've seen over the last 12 months is I think a lot of people went to homeschooling. I mean, here in North Carolina, the homeschooling registration website crashed last, I think it was April or May, as parents were getting frustrated, stay-at-home education. You look at North Carolina, you look around the country, and the percentage of children that were getting, especially in the middle school and high school level, that were getting Fs on their report cards just skyrocketed up 30 and 40% in some places. Yeah. In L.A. County, they had about 40,000 students that never showed up online. They just didn't show up. And so parents were getting frustrated, and the mental and emotional and even spiritual problems that have occurred as a result of pulling our kids out of school. But you guys, you know, you had to deal with the reality of COVID, especially early on. So how did it affect Iron Academy?
Well, like everybody else here in North Carolina, it did affect us, especially March through May of last year. We did have to go fully remote. We did a few things differently than most people. We were live the entire time, so we had video and audio the whole time with our students. We had active, engaging classes. But one of the things we found is, as much as we want to, it's very difficult to develop the biblical manhood aspect remotely, and we don't know how to do the leadership. So we were excited to get back here in August and be completely live again.
Yeah, completely live in person. I know that's a shocking thought. So we're going to unpack when we come back. We'll start talking about what's going on in the public school systems. What do we need to be concerned about? And then if you're ready to leave, if you're getting out of there, where should you go? Iron Academy being an obvious option if you have young men, 6th through 12th grade here in the Wake County area. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and pushing towards senior year. If that's you, your son, or your grandson, then you're here in the Raleigh area, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Wake County, basically, North Carolina. And you understand, you realize, and I think most of us do, I don't really know any people personally that think the public school system is okay, and even private schools, which on an educational level can be much better, but still you have a moral issue and a worldview issue, and perhaps a critical race theory type issue. And then you go to private Christian schools, which all don't operate the same. And then you have issues with how young women are taught versus how young men are taught. That's a very serious issue, and there's very serious differences there. And then we have COVID issues and all kinds of other stuff. But if you are ready to make that leap, it's not just a matter of running from, but what are you running to? So I want you to go to ironacademy.org. We've talked often about Iron Academy. You've always heard them, their messaging here on the show, because we've been partners ever since it got started. And Alan and I have known each other for, gosh, how long now? 15 years?
18 years.
Yeah, a long time. So I became a crazy activist, and then Alan became a crazy educator. He was already an educator. But then Iron Academy got born, and this has just been a partnership and a friendship that we've seen God bless and use in many different ways. So ironacademy.org, starting in sixth grade all the way up through high school. But we were just talking about off the break, because Bob had taught internationally for the last 10 years, 26 years in the military. Thank you for your service, by the way, Bob. And I was asking you on the break, kind of what was your perspective when you came back to America as an American and somebody that served in the military, but having been gone for 10 years, did America really change all that much in a decade?
Oh, gosh, yes. It's hard to believe. First, people outside of America would say it's coming to the land of stuff.
Wow.
You walk into a Walmart and there's 26 different types of toothpaste, and for 10 years we were used to one or two types. Mm-hmm. So that's a change. That can be that can be a very hard thing for somebody to get used to. But the sad thing is the moral values are slipping away from us.
Yeah.
It has just become a land of stuff.
Yep. Yeah, such a great point, such a profound way of looking at it, just a land of stuff. And then I also asked you about, and then we'll get into this, Alan, asked you about, would you ever consider teaching in the public school system? And your answer was meaningful.
Yes, no, they've lost its soul.
Yeah, lost its soul. And so there's no heart there. It's just process. But it's not devoid of an agenda, is it, Alan?
No, but I think we ought to be careful not to disparage the public school teachers, because
right.
a lot of the direction does come from the top. But there does increasingly seem to be an agenda that is contrary to biblical worldview, whether it's in regards to sex, gender, how we view one another, our sin nature, and which people are sinful and which aren't,
yeah,
because
yeah.
we're starting to see that more and more. But yes, there's definitely a worldview agenda. And it's changing very rapidly. We could say we've seen a lot of change in the last 16 years.
Well, we've got state governments like in Florida. There's an effort afoot here in North Carolina to literally ban critical race theory because it can be so destructive. Should we be willing to talk about race and ethnicity and the history of this country from an honest perspective? Absolutely. But critical race theory goes well beyond that, turns everybody against each other. You want to talk about united we stand, divided we fall. Critical race theory is an excellent way to get there faster than you would expect. And so those are issues that are expanding. And I appreciate what you said. We can't throw every teacher under the bus. Not all teachers are bad teachers, but not all teachers are good teachers either. There are teachers in there. Like, we had Black Lives Matter type curriculum here in Wake County not that long ago. And there's teachers that actually believe in it. Why they believe in it, I don't know. I'm not going to judge their hearts, but I can certainly look at the fruit. And these are very serious things for young people. I mean, they're not just being taught how to think. They're being taught what to think.
Yeah, very true. And my issue with some of the direction we're going there, especially in regard to race, is we don't want to make the same mistakes we made in the past. We don't want to disparage people for their color, and we don't want to do the opposite of what we did in the 60s and prior to that. God tells us, God doesn't make mistakes. When he created us, he created us different skin tones, different heights, different intelligence, different looks. And he didn't make any mistakes. We should value that in each other, and we should protect that, and we should never deride that. Some of the modern theories are forcing us to disparage people or to consider people more sinful than other people, which is a dangerous place to go.
Yeah, yeah, based solely on their skin color. Which is exactly what's happening. You were showing me something before we went live on the show that you guys incorporated kind of to kind of push back on what's going on, especially with critical race theory and how we see each other. And again, at Iron Academy, just like on this show in our lives, whether it's Bob or you, Alan, and me and my family, the number one, the foundation is Christ. It's a biblical worldview. And how do we look at other people? How do we look at each other? But I really appreciated you go through this right quick. There's four very powerful points. This is a huge difference between what's going on at a place like Iron Academy and what's going on at your local high school or middle school.
So with all the things, especially since last March when the quarantine happened, and I think this will go on the devil's greatest hits. If you want to destroy a nation or a culture, the pandemic was a way to do it.
Yeah.
And separating people. We have made it very difficult for people, young people especially, to learn how to live in community with one another. And with the race riots and the different things that were happening, and we're hearing that we're a systemically racist country and we're starting to tear ourselves apart, we had to look at it and said, all right, what does God really want us to do with this? And we had to take a look at it. And what we came up with was a document that we use internally called How We Shall Treat One Another. Mm-hmm. And it boils down to four things, but first and foremost is we do not devalue God's created beings. If we are made in his image, we don't make fun of people. We don't mock people. We value those things. So if it's intelligence, looks, color, weight, congenital abnormalities, those things, you know, we don't make fun of those kind of things. Those are not mistakes.
Everybody's to be valued and has inestimable worth simply because they're made in the image of God.
Yes.
The sanctity of life is what it is.
What we can debate and should debate are the human conventions, the things we do in a culture, moral values, cultural expressions, beliefs, opinions. Those kind of things we should talk about. And we, as Christians, we're supposed to do that winsomely. We're supposed to bring people to us, but we can debate them and we can say, no, that's not right, or yes, that is right. And we need to be focused on virtues.
Well, those first 2 points, I mean, it's just like John 1:14, Jesus full of grace and truth. You've got grace in the first point when we'd never devalue anybody, and you have truth in the other point. Nobody's truth claim should be beyond examination and debate. And in schools, that's simply not allowed. But in this situation with Iron Academy, yeah, you can. If you're going to come in and espouse it, be ready, because we're going to talk about it. Yeah. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, what's point number three?
So point number three, like Jesus boiled down the Ten Commandments, we love God, we love people. Mm-hmm. It's our lifelong duty to learn how to love God. But as we also learn how to love people, we need to learn how to talk to them and respect them. So if we have people who differ with us theologically or reject our theology, if they embrace the gay BCs or if they promote gay marriage, we don't mock them. We don't deride them. We love them. We can disagree with them because we can talk about those things because those are human conventions, but we must love them well.
And then number four?
Well, we must be beacons of truth. We must bring people to Christ. So we need to learn how to pursue righteousness, and that's pursuing virtue. So that's that. Those are basically the four tenets of our document of how we shall treat one another.
Yeah, and we're going to hit a break here in just a second. But, Bob, when we come back, I want to ask you again, because of your perspective having taught in other countries for the last 10 years, and we'll review what countries those are, and then your perspective on what's happening here in the environment of education, but in general, on the issue of race, because people have asked me that question. I've been to Iraq, I've been to Africa, I've been to several places, I've been to Thailand. Racism's different here than it is in other parts of the world, so we'll talk about that as well. How does that affect your kids? We'll be right back. How in the world did that get on here? What's going on? What's happening with the music? Is this Christian radio? Anybody home? Anybody there? Hello? 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 Come on, a minute. You know what it is. It's the Bee Gees, of course. We'll talk about that another time. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show today with one of my favorite guests and a dear friend, Alan Hahn from Iron Academy, the chief education officer. Just an incredible school for young men. Strike boys from your vocabulary. If you want to raise boys, that's what you're going to get. And they're going to be boys when they're 10, when they're 15, when they're 18. And unfortunately, they're still going to be boys when they're 25 and 28 and 30 and 32. We've got a nation full of boys, men without chess. I think, was it C.S. Lewis who said that? Men without chess. And mostly that's because we've allowed it to happen. I'm getting on a rant now. We've outsourced our religious education for our kids, mostly to the youth group. Just outsource it to them. We don't really live it out at home. We don't talk about it much. And then we send them off to school. Here's the math. Okay, since Bob is here today, Professor Newman is here, the math teacher who's up at Iron Academy and so much more. Kindergarten through 12th grade, Bob. Okay, here's the numbers in America. Kindergarten through 12th grade is about 16,000 hours butts in the seats. Okay, literally in school, 16,000 hours between kindergarten and 12th grade. Let's say, Alan, you tell me what kind of Christian family this is. Their son and daughter, they go to Sunday school for an hour. They go to the church service for an hour. They go back Sunday night for Sunday night youth group or whatever for an hour. And then they come back Wednesday night for dinner and for Bible study on Wednesday night. Is that good Christian family, Gold Star Christian family? What do you think?
Gold Star.
Okay. 2 hours Sunday morning, another hour Sunday night, another hour Wednesday, 4 hours a week, kindergarten through 12th grade, 2,400 hours. 16,000 hours, butts in the seats versus 2,400 hours, Gold Star Christian family. Now let's throw in popular media on top of it, which is about another 16,000 hours. 32,000 hours, kindergarten through 12th grade, versus 2,400 hours, Gold Star Christian family at church. So my question always, Alan, for parents is, how good of a parent do you think you are? Can you do, Bob, math? So when you hear those numbers, let me go to our mathematician first. How should we approach that, Bob, knowing that the numbers are against us as parents in terms of that's mostly godless teaching? Mm-hmm. Do you think we're really aware of the deluge of anti-biblical teaching?
Well, we might not be aware of it, but as parents, we're instructed to protect our children, not keep them from the world, but let them know what's in the world.
Yeah.
And so I would say out of those 16,000 hours, there needs to be some parental involvement in the choices that the children make. I mean, that is why they're at home. That is why the parents have an active role. That is why Iron Academy wants to partner with the parents.
Right. Yeah, and that's the whole point, and to be intentional. Because on the break, Alan, we were talking about, there's a word that people are very nervous about when it comes to public education, being in the government schools, and the word is brainwashing. And when we hear brainwashing or indoctrination, people tend to go, all right, hold on a second. You guys are just crazy Christians. You're a little over the top. You might as well be Mennonites, move to Pennsylvania, whatever. But do you think, I mean, for those of you that don't know, Alan, he's very level-headed, not given to hyperbole, okay? Is that hyperbole? Brainwashing.
No. In fact, that's a large part of what education is. So it's not brainwashing, getting them to absolutely have to think a certain way. But when you present information, you do create people who tend to see the world in a certain way. That's been the purpose of education in the colonial times, after colonial times. And then we started creating workers. And today we're more towards social engineering. And it sounds like a terrible term, and it is. But whether you go to a biblical school or a public school, you need to have people who your child is being taught a worldview, how they see the world, how they see the beginning of the world, what they see the purpose of man is, what our ethics should be, how we should live, how we should react to different things. And so, yes, our children are being brainwashed to think certain ways. And the less we're involved in that, the more susceptible they are to believe whatever they're taught. So clearly one of the most important decisions we ever make as a parent is, who are we going to ally in the education of our children? Who are we going to entrust with that?
Yeah.
That's their mind. That's a very serious decision.
And I think 50 years ago, growing up here, Bob, you grew up in America.
Yes, I did.
And when we think back to childhood education, it's kind of simplistic and nice and sweet and kind. You don't really look back. I don't look back at it and go, there was something else going on there. But there obviously there was, but I don't have much memory of that. But is that, to Alan's point, everybody's teaching a worldview, whether they know it or not, aren't they?
Of course you are. It's what's behind the curtain. But the idea in America was a place of creativity. America was a place of differences where you could bring varying ideas to the classroom and they would all be accepted.
Yeah.
That is not true today.
Yeah, critical thinking. That's classic liberalism, right? Isn't that classic liberalism is, let's put it all on the table.
Yes.
And let's put it all under the same microscope and let's examine it and see what stands up. But we don't do that anymore because you're not allowed to talk about ulterior things. You don't, if you have a problem with COVID or you have a problem with gender, or you have a problem with the gay BC book that I have sitting here, all of a sudden you're an enemy and you have to be silenced. And that sounds like indoctrination or brainwashing to me.
Yeah. We used to be accused of not being open-minded. Now it appears we're the most open-minded.
Yes. Yeah. Because you can come into a Christian. So a young man comes into his classroom, maybe your classroom, Bob, and they have an opinion that's different or off from a biblical perspective. Mm-hmm. What happens to them? Do you ground them? Do you give them extra work? Do they go outside and do 50 push-ups? What happens? So they might not agree with a biblical narrative or a biblical position. How do you handle that?
Well, one of the things we definitely try to do at Iron Academy is we do want our guys to have a safe place to ask all those questions.
Yeah.
So when a young man typically comes from us to us in 6th, 7th, 9th grade, they believe everything, well, especially in 6th and 7th, they believe everything their parents taught them, their church has taught them. And then in 8th grade, they start to question those things. And what we want in 9th through 12th grade is the opportunity to really test those things. Sure, we do apologetics. We teach all those things. But we want them to feel comfortable testing those and talking those through so that when they do go off and they do get challenged about those things in college, they've been well-grounded. They know who they are in Christ. They know what it means to be a godly man. They know what right and wrong is. They know what virtue is. They know what vice is. And they've heard some of the arguments before it, but they've been allowed to own that for themselves. And no, we do not force feed that. Now, we are a little bit different than many even Christian schools, and most Christian schools are evangelical in nature, which is a wonderful thing, and we need 10,000 more evangelical schools. But instead of being an outreach trying to bring people to Christ, we are trying to create a genuine discipleship community.
Yeah.
So we do have people who do profess a belief in Jesus Christ and his ability to change their lives and the force in their lives. So we talk about those things. And if you're a school primarily focused on biblical manhood, you do have to have people who believe in Jesus Christ. But there's a broad avenue to travel for biblical manhood and to figure out what that is and to figure out what that means and how I should live. We have lots of opportunity to agree and disagree. And we want them to question these things. The last thing we want them – so we're not about behavior control. And no biblical community can be just about behavior control.
You're cleaning the outside of the cup.
Yes,
that's
yes.
all you're doing.
So if we could do one thing at Iron Academy, it would be heart change, which is the one thing we can't do. But we try to create an atmosphere ripe for God's perfect design for biblical manhood to come out of these young men.
Yeah, and with all your experience, not just in teaching, Bob, but being in the military for 26 years, how have you seen the effectiveness of that since you're newer to Iron Academy? What have you seen since you've been there with respect to what Alan's talking about?
Well, what I've seen at Iron Academy that impresses me so much is that leadership development and servant leadership. Just today, I came from a study hall. One student was struggling with a subject. Two other students came by to help him. That is something that it makes you proud to see, but you can't mandate that. You can't mandate a person to look at another person and see them as a brother. You can't look at that and see that I'm going to care about somebody else besides myself.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be forced, but this was not forced. I was just an observer saying, hey, this is somebody in my class. They're struggling in this subject. Let me help them out. And that leadership development, that opportunity to grow as a man, that's not always a perfect run, but it's fits and starts.
Sure, yeah.
But it's those fits and starts. It's so much easier to learn it as a younger person than to wait till you're older. And that's the environment that the leadership is offered at Iron Academy.
Yeah, because they have decades of things to unravel, but if you start off the right way. So I want to focus on the rest of the show, Alan, on if people decide, okay, I'm done with the public school system. And by the way, if you think everything's fine in the public school system, you need to pray for wisdom and discernment on that because it isn't, okay? And you got to remember, even though we might think, you know, here in Wake County, well, we have the Wake County Board of Education and all that kind of stuff. Most of the boards of education around the country are controlled by the federal government via money, okay? So the national government sends money down to state and local level for education, but there's strings attached. Title IX, there's all kinds of strings attached. So you can implement federal educational philosophy on a local level via the purse strings. So you have to remember that. You cannot trust the public school system implicitly, even if you love your teacher. So if you're ready to get out, where do you go? How do you make that decision? What kind of agenda are you looking for? What kind of programs, what kind of pluses are you looking for? We'll talk about that with Alan Hahn from Iron Academy when we come back right after this. That felt pretty good. It didn't happen very often.
I was just thinking that.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about something that is important, should be important to all of us. Listen, by the way, as we talk to Alan Hahn today and Bob Newman from Iron Academy, and you say, well, my kids are out of school or our grandkids are young, whatever. Listen, whether your kids are in the school system still or not is irrelevant. If you call yourself a Christian, and if in fact you are through the blood of Jesus Christ, then you have to worry about your neighbors as much as you worry about your own family. So when I engaged the school system years ago when Call to Action started in 2004, we went after the Wake County public school system here in the Raleigh area on all kinds of stuff. And the media used to ask me all the time because they knew we were homeschoolers. So they'd say, well, where do your kids go to school? It was the same old garbage every time. I'm like, we homeschool. Because I knew the question was coming. Well, if you homeschool, Mr. Noble, why are you involved in the Wake County public school system? And I say, do you want my constitutional answer or my biblical answer? Tell you what, I'll give them both to you. Here's my constitutional answer. They're spending my money. And where my money goes, I have some say as a taxpayer. Okay, there's my constitutional answer. Here's my biblical answer. Whether my kids are in that school is irrelevant. Somebody else's kids are. And so I have to love my neighbor as myself. I need to look at the school system and how they treat children as if those children were my own. That's a biblical standard. And so for all of us, whether you're in or out, you need to care about what's going on in the public school system. There's a word that we don't use very often that our founding fathers used regularly and included it in the Declaration of Independence, and that word is posterity. Not prosperity, not Pillsbury, posterity. What's happening to the people that are coming behind us? And I think we don't pay much attention to our posterity anymore, Alan. We just throw them in the system and hope everything's going to turn out all right. And when they're not doing much in their late 20s, we're shocked that it ended up that way. But help people to understand, if I'm going to get out of that mess, that's the public school system, how do I find the right spot? Where do they start?
Yeah, well, we shouldn't choose alternative schooling because we care less, but because we care more.
Amen.
Now, if I imagine the people who listen to this radio program are more intentional than your average person who calls themselves a Christian.
Yeah, definitely.
You should only allow people to be your educational partner if they share your worldview, the basic tenets of that. Obviously, if you're homeschooling, you share those worldviews, right? Because that is your worldview.
Right.
But you need to find a Bible faithful school that they love the word and they adhere to the word. You need, in my opinion, a teacher-centered environment rather than a student-centered. Because you know,
what do you mean by that?
Okay, what I mean by that is most modern schools are leaning towards a student-centered educational experience or trying to teach toward a social improvement goal. Whereas a teacher-centered environment is the teacher's the boss of the classroom. They're taking the students in a direction educationally that they know is the proper place to go. And we do need to trust teachers to do that. That's what they're paid for. No, but they do need to have that same biblical worldview.
Sounds like a rabbi back in Jesus' day.
Come, follow me.
Yes, rabbi and his disciples.
We believe that it should be virtue-focused. So you should be learning what is right, what is wrong. You should be learning about the vices and the virtues. It should be content rigorous because it is a school, and a school is a school is a school. You've got to teach. It should build capable citizens. Mm-hmm. I know you and I are both Constitution teachers. That's the one class I still have not given up, and I will not give up. I love teaching the Constitution. Right. This is a very important one. If you're going to share in this experience with other parents, and this pertains to homeschoolers too because you do have community. You're just not locked up in your homestead the whole time. But you need to find like-minded parents. And I'll give it a real simple illustration of that. If you're trying to teach your son or daughter that they don't need a cell phone, that they don't need this digital key to the entire world until their driving age or so, you say, we're not going to give our son or daughter a smartphone until they're driving or they're 17 or they're 18. Well, you have very good reasons for doing that. But if you don't have a community of like-minded people, it makes it very difficult. Doesn't mean you can't do it and you are still the parent, but it makes it so much easier if you have like-minded people with you. So find people who are of like mind, a community who can do and this is to borrow the African proverb that Hillary then borrowed. But it does take a Christian village to do this. Be like-minded regarding the use of technology as well. Technology is a big one. So if you're going to trust another educational partner to help you with this, then how much technology do you want in the classroom? Do you want textbooks? Do you want everything to be digital? Do you want them to be programming the whole time, or do you want them to get into the classics and write in books and write on paper? So there are all kinds of things that you need to make sure that your educational partner believes what you believe, values what you value, and that you have a common direction. If your primary goal is to get your son or daughter into MIT for engineering, then you'll pick a certain type of school. If you want to reveal God's perfect design for them as a godly young man or a godly young woman, then you're going to have a different educational partner. Mm-hmm. Now, you can do both. There's no prohibition on Christians being strongly educated and being able to go to MIT.
Sure.
But that may not be your primary focus. So those are the things you should look for as a responsible Christ-following father and mother. You want the very best for I just can't overemphasize how important it is to trust the right person with your child's mind.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just like if you're going to have somebody come babysit your kid for 16,000 hours from kindergarten to 12th grade, who are you going to hire? You're probably going to interview. That's probably not going to be a lackadaisical process. You're going to be very intentional about that. What about boys and girls, men and women versus a single sex environment? Because we've talked about this. We've done whole shows on this in the past where we've talked about the difference between how young men learn and how young women learn. I think all of us know that instinctively. Bob knows that. You know that. I know that as a parent and as a teacher. But what about that? Should that be an issue in terms of making a good choice? And is it a bigger deal for a boy than it is for a girl?
Oh, that last one was a good question. No, I think it's an equal issue for both. And so we're an all-male school. Young ladies aren't the problem. It's not it's the opposite sex that is the problem, that is the distraction. And it goes the same way for young men and boys being the distraction. It depends on what your educational outcomes are, what you want them to be. But if you're focused on an education and really teaching your young man to how to be a young man, then you focus on that. If you want to help a young lady become the young lady she was created to be, then you focus on that. But so many the dangers of a co-ed environment right now, our society is teaching young ladies how to dress. That's putting all kinds of terrible pressures on them to dress certain ways. It's to behave certain ways, their sexual behaviors, all of which are leading them away from a biblical worldview. Well, the same thing is true for guys. Usually it's less social media pressure and more of what they'll get on Discord or a gaming platform or their sports heroes. So that's taking them away from a biblical worldview, how they treat one another. So if any of us who are older can look back on our middle school and high school years, we probably didn't treat the opposite sex very well.
No.
We didn't view them. They were a target, a goal, a conquest to be had.
Yeah.
And that's not a godly way to do things. And as the father of a son and a daughter, I don't want that for my son, and I don't want that for my daughter.
From an academic standpoint, does it matter? Because boys learn differently than girls.
Yes. Well, I will speak for Iron Academy. The average IQ increase after 1 year at Iron Academy is 8.7%.
Wow.
After 2 years, it's almost 15%. And then it goes down after that because we run out of room on the bell curve. But it works. And again, this is not against women. It's just that we are teaching them the way young men prefer to learn. We are giving them an honor code that always yields a gentleman scholar eventually. We do brain breaks. You know, we get them up and moving around throughout the day. I took my constitution class out today, and we were out there, and we had dumbbells, and one partner was doing squats while the other was doing push-ups, and we alternated for 3 minutes, and we're back to class, and no problem. And then we can, you know, having them be in an environment where they can expect more and hold each other accountable is great, and there's no reason young ladies can't do the same things.
Yeah, great point. Bob, from your experience, and not just being at Iron Academy, but your education on the international field and military as well, what would be your advice for a couple minutes for parents that are like, okay, I want to get out of the public school system, but I'm not quite sure. What would you say would be some of the top priorities?
Well, certainly it's not something to run away from. It's something to run to. Mm-hmm. And what you want to look for is you want to look for an education that educates the whole person, a holistic approach. Yes, you want to educate the mind. So you're going to look for a class with rigor. You're going to look for a class that can present a challenge to all types of students, for those that may do well in that subject to those that might be challenged. But then you've got to also have the heart in it. And you've got to teach, why do I need to have this? I mean, you can look at history. World War II, the Nazi leaders, they had master's degrees of the mind, but they had no heart.
Yeah,
so you've got to educate the heart. And it's not just a heart and a head matter, but then it's our soul. Because as a Christian, I know that I'm more than just this world. Mm-hmm. I know that I have an eternal purpose. So then you've got to tie that together. That brings together a strength. That brings together where you can rely on all of the parts of you, and you can go to your creator, and you can find your purpose and not just wandering around. And I think if you're going to look for an education, that holistic approach is the way to go.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point, because you can have, Alan, an educated monster. You can have well-educated people that do nothing effective for society. And in fact, you can have well-educated people that can tear a society down. So it's the education, it's the mind. It's the heart, the center of the person, and then it's the eternal part, the spirit. And the public school system ain't doing that. Well, they are. They're just doing it from the wrong perspective and from the wrong direction. IronAcademy.org is the website, 6th through 12th grade now, here in the Raleigh area, Wake County, IronAcademy.org. Alan, always great seeing you. Thank you for helping us understand all these things.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Bob, again, thanks for your service.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming in today. It was great having you here. And let's plan another show when we get some of the young men in.
Yeah.
Without any of us old guys. I mean, I have to be here.
Okay.
But none of you guys from Iron Academy. Just
no
students.
Problem.
We'll just get some young men in here. I love doing that. We'll be back tomorrow. A lot to talk about, a lot happening in the news, as always. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.